Coming to you from Jackson, Michigan and Dayton, Ohio, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Kyle Maurer and Dustin Hartzler. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello and welcome to episode number 86 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent show, advice show about your life in WordPress. I'm Dustin with my buddy, my friend, my co-patriot, Kyle Maurer. Say hello, Kyle.
Hello, Kyle. And hello, Dustin. How are you?
I'm off to a great start this morning. It's a beautiful morning here in Dayton, I guess, and we're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, you're not dehydrated yet with your water issues.
I had known nothing about the water issues. This is how big of a hole I live in. Like, my nanny had to show up today, and she's like, "Do you have water issues here?" I was like, "What water issues?" And then, of course, we're like trying to Google it and trying to figure out if our house is affected or not. Apparently, there's a huge water main break in Dayton, Ohio on a Valentine's Day, the day we're recording this. And there's a lot of people that just don't have water. So I'm like, well, I think we're okay. You know, you're trying to Google this stuff. Like, you would think it's 2019. It would say very specifically somewhere, like, these places are affected by the water main break. But all I could find was like a map, and the map says no boil zone and boil zone, but it's only for downtown Dayton. But the Centerville schools where we live, like, they're all closed because they don't have water. So I don't know. From what I understand is it's a huge water main break. They fixed it, but then it could take up to 8 hours to build up the pressure across the city. And so maybe that's part of the problem. Like, the water's okay, but there's just not enough pressure. You think of a school with all the bathrooms and toilets and sinks and stuff, and they just wouldn't have enough pressure to work right. So I'm not dehydrated yet. I do have one 32-ounce bottle of water, so hopefully that lasts me all day. Otherwise, I will be dehydrated by the end of the day.
Oh, boy. That's crazy.
What's shaking in your world?
Well, it is, in fact, as you said, Valentine's Day today. That's important. I don't tell anybody, but I planned something special for later. And, you know, just make sure that doesn't get out to Ashley. She doesn't know. I hope she's not listening right now.
Okay, I won't tell her that there may be something special.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. The bar's not that high for me. I usually try, and I don't know. I'm never very good at it, but I tried something better this time. It's a little more ambitious. It requires a bit of planning and a lot of logistics today to pull off.
Nice.
Hopefully it works out.
All right. Well, we'll listen for an update next week. We'll see how this thing whole pulled out.
Yeah. It's not Red Robin.
Oh, blast. But,
yeah, it will be good.
right as we're getting ready to start the show, my wife's sending me messages. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. She's like, we're having Red Robin for lunch. It's a Red Robin bar. If you're not familiar, Red Robin is a kind of a hamburger place, and they have gourmet hamburgers and then bottomless fries. And so there may be Red Robin leftovers coming to a Hartzler household near you. So that's what I'm excited about. Now I have hours and hours and hours to wait for Red Robin.
Hours. Well, that's great.
Yeah. And I also wanted to say thank you for all the compliments on last week's show about being in the commercials and being the face of WordPress. I really appreciate that. And now I'm in your ears this week as the voice of WordPress. I believe Adam's off gallivanting somewhere in the world. And so I'm taking over for him today.
Oh, you know, I didn't even notice he wasn't here.
Oh.
I guess you're right.
We were. He was here for the intro, but I don't know what happened to the rest.
It must have left, I guess. Oh, yeah. We'll carry on.
We'll just keep carrying on. This is probably okay. Where I would hit the news button if we had some news to play. But I don't really know if there's any news other than there's a new co-host. And that's me.
Yeah, there is. A new co-host of the Get Options Podcast. Breaking news. You heard it here first on the Get Options Podcast.
And yeah, so I'm happy to fill in whenever one of you all are traveling or if we need to have multiple people on. I always have a lot of fun on the show, and I'm excited to be here today.
I'm excited to have you, Dustin. You're such a professional.
I am such a professional. And with that, let's play some bumper music. What you wearing, what you drinking, what you reading now? Go.
Okay. I'm wearing a WordCamp Chicago t-shirt from, I don't remember the year, 2014, looks like. I'm drinking a lot of water because I'm actually in a health and wellness challenge, so I earn points against my friends for drinking a lot of water. And so I've got like several glasses right next to me. and don't have any water main issues, so I can just drink as much as I want. I hope that doesn't, I'm not rubbing it in your face or anything.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, we have an abundance of water. We're rich in water up here, and snow at the moment. And I'm almost done with Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, book 4.
Nice.
How about you?
I'm wearing a WordPress University t-shirt. It's one of the ones on the swag store. It's in the blue color. Kyle and I are matching in blues today. I am drinking, like I mentioned before, that 32-ounce bottle of water. I'm just crossing my fingers that is enough water to last me all day. I don't have to. It's not going to be. I usually drink 2 or 3 of these 32-ounce bottles, so we'll see how that works. And then when it comes to reading, I've got a handful of books that I'm reading. There's The Minimalist Home by Josh Becker. As I'm emptying all these boxes in our new house, I'm just trying to get rid of junk and trying to see what other people say about how much junk you should have. And then I'm also reading the book by Chris Hogan. It is called Everyday Millionaires, and it is released at the beginning of this year. And just trying to up my personal finance game this year. We now are kind of settled. We know how much our mortgage payment's going to be. We know how much all our utilities are going to be. And then we're just spend a little bit more time being a little bit more, we're being more particular with our spending, and then that way we can do fun things later this year, like go on trips or have vacations or build a gigantic deck off the back of the house and build an office. Ooh. And so we've got a lot of things that we want to buy this year, and it's just a matter of we've got to.
I guess so.
Yeah, we got some quotes for decks last year, and they were 5 figures in price. So that's going to take a little while to save up. And so I'm going to build a little smaller of a deck, so it's not quite as big, but it's still, we want to do that real expensive, I don't know what they call it, like the indestructible floorboards. You know, they are kind of plastic. What are they called? Like Trex is a company that does it. Can't even think of what they're called, but it's not wood. It's like
a composite.
That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. So composite type decking, and it's like 3 times the cost for the deck boards as regular wood. But then you never have to stain it. You never have to seal it. You never have to finish it. Like, it's just done. So it's worth the upfront cost to have no maintenance later.
Sure.
Isn't that just like our lives? We spend all this time automating things so we never have to do it later.
Right. I don't want to ever repeat anything, ever. I was going to say, new listeners may think you're very ambitious this year, but it's nothing compared to last year when you built a whole house.
We built the whole house.
This year's nothing.
Over the course of 9 months, and we moved 3 times, and we did all of those things. And this year, it's like we're not going anywhere. We are going to spend money on a deck. We're going to build it. We're going to build an office. I take a sabbatical this year, so I get 3 months off work. Like, it's going to be a quote-unquote boring year in comparison to last year.
Wow, that's outstanding. Is this the first or second time you've taken a sabbatical?
It is the first time. So at Automatic, after 5 years, you're eligible for a sabbatical. So I was eligible back in December. I could have taken in December, but who wants to take 3 months off when it's cold outside? So, and there's potential for us to be able to, my wife's a pharmacy professor, and there is a slight chance that we could go to Spain for 5 weeks this summer as part of her teaching a study abroad program. And so the thought was, if we go abroad, then I wouldn't have to work and I could just hang out with our kids all day and then take them to the park and walk around, go to the market and do fun things like that. And then, but if we don't go to Spain, then I've got all this free time on my hands to, you know, make the yard look nice and build a deck and build an office and do this, that, and the other thing. So that's kind of why I took it in the summer. So it's May 8th through July 1st. I will have nothing on my plate, nothing at all, and that's going to be pretty cool. So,
yeah, I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah, that's going to be unplugging from Slack and no email and no nothing, just completely forget about I even have a job for 3 months. Should be pretty cool. Hopefully I have a job when I come back. That's the
We'll see.
We'll see about that. Well, hey, Kyle.
Hey, Dustin.
Do you know what time it is?
I think it's time to sell the Your Website Engineer podcast so you can dedicate all your time to Get Options.
Huh, that's a good idea. But I think it's another good time to play a bumper from Adam that won't play. I have one window open, and it's playing 2 different clips at the same time from a window that only has the Get Options podcast. So let's just go ahead and just recycle that.
I remember my first podcast.
Yeah, 86 episodes in, and I can't play a bumper right. The whole thing is we're trying to do this without Adam knowing, so we didn't want to get all the bumpers from him. It would be kind of suspicious if I say, hey, Adam, can you hand me all the bumpers so we can get ready?
Yeah.
then it's not going to be a surprise.
I just need them because.
Yeah, I'm just going to do my own show, if you will. So, all right, let's actually do it here. So, hey, Kyle, guess what?
What?
What time is it? Are you ready?
I don't know. Questions time?
It is questions time. Intro bumper here.
That's right.
That's right. You send them in. We read them. We've researched them. And now it's time to give you options. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? All right.
I'm ready.
We're ready. I think you're up for the first question.
Okay. This question comes to us, dear listeners, from Sarah Dunn, friend of the show. Sarah asks, do you have any advice for staying connected with remote coworkers? Do you only talk about work, or do you make it a point to also have a personal connection? What do you think, Dustin?
Well, as a remote worker myself, and I have colleagues all over the world, I want to say you actually want to hang out with these people. You actually want to know these people that you work with. I'm all about you're making me work with them. So I just want to know, how well are you doing? How can you do better? And let's get the show on the road.
All right.
We don't have time for chit chat around here. We're all about work, work, work. That's what we're paid to do.
I hear you. Yeah. This made me think about back when I had an office job and I had coworkers there. And, you know, did I want to hang out with them after work? No. No. I wanted to go home.
When I had an office job, I lived an hour away and I wanted to drive an hour and get away from everybody that I worked with.
Yeah. Exactly. So what are you talking about? Get to know them better. Psh. Well, if that is your thing, maybe there are some other options too. You could possibly, this is a tactic that I like, friend them on Facebook and then start liking and commenting on their really old photos, especially the ones from when they were in college. And just do this daily for maximum relationship building and connection strengthening. That's my advice.
That is a good option. In our space, you know, a lot of people are in the tech world, and you could do the same thing with their website or their blog. Go back and try to reread some of that old content, see what's happening, what are they publishing there, and just try to find out more of their backstory so you can just bring it up at random times. Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Like when I was in Hawaii that one time, I know that you've been there. So what did you think? And just kind of wield those into push them into everyday conversations.
Yeah, comment on the blog post they published when they were a teenager listing their favorite emo songs.
Yeah, that's a great way to get to know people. Any other suggestions?
Yeah. Mandatory hourly check-ins and status reports?
I guess you can learn and stay connected with your colleagues that way.
Yeah, let's touch base all the time.
Every day. maybe the person that when you sign into Slack in the morning, you just say hello to everybody. Direct message everybody. Hello, I'm here. How are you doing today?
Direct message every person. You have like hundreds and hundreds of coworkers.
Well, technically, yes. There's 800 plus at Automatic, but I have a team of 15. So that wouldn't be too big of an overhaul for 15 people to get direct messages every day. And then up, I'm leaving. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.
Direct message. I like that one. That's a good one. All right. A few other things. I personally like having a water cooler channel in Slack. Mm-hmm. We both work for distributed teams who employ Slack. And when you do have a water cooler channel, I think it's important to lead by example and make it clear that it is okay to use this channel for some idle chatter. And we've had discussions and even debate at times about the place idle chatter plays within our organization's communication. But we tend to believe that it has some value, that there is a place for the water cooler within a company and getting to know each other and just chatting about what's on our minds.
Yeah, absolutely. We have probably dozens of water cooler channels. We've got a team related channel where we spend a little bit of time. It's mostly work stuff, but you know, people are kind of status reporting like what they're doing. So it's like, hey, I'm in live chat for a while, or I'm doing tickets, or I'm doing this, that, and the other thing. Like you get those opportunities. But then we also do a weekly report. And so our weekly report is you kind of we report out on what we did during the week. Like, here's the projects we worked on. Here's how many tickets we did. Here's how many, you know, one-on-ones we did with different people and whatnot. But then we also, as part of that weekly report, we have a personal section. So it's like a work part at the top, and then we have a personal at the bottom. And so that's when I would put in places like, oh, well, we were snowed in, and I put away 100 boxes of stuff in my new house. Or I ended up doing this, you know, with my family. And people are like posting their Instagram pictures or just like fun updates of things that's happened in the past week. And that really helps to get to know like what's going on outside of work. And I think that's important to know, especially when you have those in-person team meetups. Like, there's a lot of times, like my last team meetup that I went on, I was brand new to the team. Like, I had been kind of switched around from team to team. And like, this was the first time I was meeting, like, it was 12 new people at one time. And that's a lot, like, to spend. And then, you know, as you're walking places and you're eating dinner, like, you're always next to somebody different. And it's kind of nice to know a little bit about what they like to do outside of work, so you can carry on those conversations and ask, you know, what about their family, or what are you doing as a hobby, or, you know, some are musicians and you ask them about their music and, you know, different things. Like, it's good to know like small snippets of like what's outside of their work world, so you can have like a real question or a real like bonding time when you're actually in person.
Sure. Yeah, I think the in-person stuff has a lot of value for distributed teams like ours. It can be pretty important, and those we build on those throughout the year, even though they only take place a few times during the year. Like, those are the times when we make the memories and develop those like inside jokes and references that we're making all the time, at those occasions where we're all together in the same room. So I believe in the practice of setting a substantial travel budget when you have a distributed workforce. And the way I tend to rationalize it, like, if you had an office that you were paying for this team, that could accommodate this size team, you would have that overhead. And that would be a substantial yearly cost. But since you operate as a distributed company, you don't have that cost. So instead of just like pocketing that difference, I tend to say the smart thing to do would be to allocate that budget instead towards making your employees comfortable and allowing them to get out as much as they need to and work together. And that could be really, really valuable, because we're kind of at a disadvantage when it comes to that connection building between each other. We maybe don't overdo it to the same extent where we're just sick of the sight of each other, which can happen in some office settings. But I think meetups, co-working, and events are the three categories that I care a lot about, and we put a lot into those. In fact, this year we're doing more meetups than we ever have before, even some themed meetups for like certain teams, co-working like basically at any time, because co-working between a couple of people is a very low cost, simple to coordinate effort. And can be super valuable for like moving projects forward much faster. So anytime I see like a couple people like trying to push a project together, and like, you guys want to just get together and be in the same place, let's do it. And then events can be great as well for something to do together. So those are some of the things that I enjoy that I think help.
Sure. And I'm thinking through like these are great answers for like our type of work and how we work on a company that's fully distributed. But I'm thinking, like, since Sarah asked this question, just kind of think about like in her case, you know, she works at her own agency, and she has a few like contractors, if you will, or people that do some work for her. And just kind of, I wonder if like a good way is, we've tossed this around at Automatic before. Like, what if we did like a half day meetup that was on Zoom? So everybody kind of blocked their calendars out for 4 hours. We're all going to be on the same, we're all going to be in Slack, or not Slack, but Zoom together, so we can all see each other, and then we're able to work on one specific thing for 3-4 hours during the day. Or, or, you know, like if everybody is kind of still located in the same city, you know, maybe you're, you know, with the crazy world that we have, that we don't have to have people right next door to do our work. You know, we can pick people from all over the world. Like, it's a little bit harder and a little bit more expensive to, for someone like Sarah to say, hey, you three contractors that I work with, I'm going to spend money for all of us to come together so we can work in person. But Zoom is a great way to kind of have those types of things. And just as the conversation flows, I think you get to know a lot about people as well when you're in that environment. Like a team chat that we have like on Zoom is usually one person talking to everybody else. But then if within Zoom itself, like, you know, if you've had those conversations where somebody is talking to somebody else while somebody else is listening, like, I think that's kind of helpful too, to kind of learn a little bit more about people and just have that friendly engagement that's just different. You know, we come to our job so often and we don't talk to people. Like, I can go, you know, I might come to work someday and have a sore throat and nobody knows because all I'm doing is typing all day long, and that's how I communicate with people. And
right.
You know, so nobody knows. Like, you know, I can be as sick as I could be and still work because I'm not going to affect anybody. So I think actually just talking, I think, helps an awful lot, and that's why we're doing that on this podcast.
I think it can be valuable. There's something to be said for just giving people your undivided attention, which, you know, when we're dealing with asynchronous communication and Slack messages, that's never the case. Our attention is always divided. But when we do get on those calls or we are face to face, we are giving each other our full attention, and the conversations are just fundamentally different. And the level of information exchanged is totally different as well. And I do believe that there's always a place for that. And some of the things that I like to do, I wanted to come back to like the virtual meetups that you said, and that I actually think is pretty cool. And there's, a lot of value in exploring that as well. We're doing that for the first time this year. We're trying that out where, we have a team and meetup, but half the team is on one continent and the other half is on another continent. And so we debated whether we get them all together on one of those continents, or we came up with the idea of like, what if we just got the teams together into like an East and West team, and they met at the same time in two rooms and had like a Zoom call between them. And so we do our best to make it feel like they're all together. So everybody like is together with coworkers, and it is one team meetup taking place, but it is like partially virtual. And so we're experimenting with stuff like that to try and,
absolutely,
you know, I don't know.
We had a team meetup back in May, and one of our teammates, she couldn't make it, like at the very last minute. Planned, coming, and all of a sudden something in her family happened and it just didn't work. And so we had very kind of set work hours, and we would again, pull up Zoom on an iPad and set her in the middle of the room and move Jen around so she could be in different places. And we actually even like we tethered to our cell connection to the iPad so we could take a team photo, and we held up the iPad so she could be part of the team photo as well. And so like, it's crazy what you can do in, you know, this day and age, like to get people in the same room as you. And so she just knew, like at the end of the day, we're like, okay, Jen, we're going to dinner, we're doing this, but we'll be back at 9 o'clock tomorrow. And so she would calculate when 9 o'clock was in her time zone, and she was there waiting for somebody to turn Zoom on. And it was really cool. So it was a good experience. Like, if you do have that that hybrid approach, if not everybody can come, you don't want somebody to miss out on everything of a team meetup just because they can't be there. Those inside jokes, those you know, those funny things that happen, you know, you want them to be a part of that.
Of course, that's important. I often like to ping people directly just to say hi every now and then, especially like the more quiet people or those that I think are more geographically isolated or newer to the team. I think it's nice to just reach out and say, hey, how you doing? What's up? How you been? And or get to know each other a little bit better, especially as our team grows. When I started, it was a fairly small team. I knew half the people, and then within a matter of weeks, I knew everybody else, and it was a pretty close-knit group. But now we're like three times that size, and there are a lot of people that I've never met in person, I know very little about, and it just takes a while to like get to know them and understand them. So I try and do that, initiate more conversations regularly. I think it's pretty valuable and easy to not do because we're busy, but worthwhile. And I also like to emphasize how important it is to very clearly define the appropriate communication for every channel. And this is something that we're working on, and we spend a lot of time talking about, actually a surprising amount of time we spend talking about communication or communicating about communicating. But the questions of what does get recorded in GitHub, and which Slack channel is appropriate for this kind of communication, and when are direct messages needed, and what is best sent as a note in Help Scout, and And having some definition of all of these things is really useful and can help foster the right discussions in the right places. And the thing to be aware of is if you're not careful, you could find yourself having to derail or shut down good conversations just because they're happening in the wrong place. And that's unfortunate. You want good conversations to take place, but in order for that to happen, there has to be clear guidelines of where they happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else to add to that?
I don't think so. The only thing that I thought of when you were saying like direct messaging people, I find that on weekend work, so we all kind of rotate half days or full day weekend work just because we're in support and we try to have 24/7 support, and it's really hard if nobody works the weekends. So we make a mandatory, like everybody has to work X amount of hours on the weekends. And I find that weekend work is a little slower, especially in live chat. There's not a lot of people that are working on their website at 7 o'clock in the morning when I'm on live chat. And so it's a good opportunity to direct message the other people that are on chat. And those are usually people that are in another time zone. I like to do my weekend work early in the morning so it doesn't really affect my Saturday, you know, 5 to 9 in the morning, and then I'm done. And so then when I'm online, that gets a lot of Europeans that are online at the same time, and I don't get a lot of interaction with them. So usually that's the time where I spend a little bit of time just, hey, how's it going? You know, like what's new? And, you know, try to get a little bit more information about them because I'm not on the same team and rarely cross paths with those types of people.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right. We are ready for question number two, and this comes all the way from WordCamp Jackson. It's a question. The question was, what's the biggest question relating to WordPress or the web that you have in your work that you're struggling with right now? That was what the prompt was. And the question is from Anonymous, and it says, speed plus WooCommerce. Go.
Yeah. You mean WooCrimers? that's not good. Little known trick, most people don't know this, WordPress runs faster if you deactivate WooCommerce. Did you know that?
It does. That if you deactivate everything, it runs faster.
Yeah. So that's like a pro tip. You learned something today.
Yeah, that's
Try
absolutely
it.
True.
Try it on your side.
Well, you know what? Like when I was reading the question, I thought he was having a problem because it was too fast. WooCommerce was too fast. And so people couldn't, I mean, everything was just too fast. And like people had spent more money than they needed to. So he was always doing refunds. That's how I read it. I mean, speed plus WooCommerce. Like it's always, everything's always too fast, right? That's always the chief complaint.
Yeah. That's really good. Really good. That could be what they meant. They didn't elaborate. And maybe you're right. Maybe it wasn't the fault of WooCom worst after all.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Could be.
Or should I say BooCommerce?
Or WooCommerce is the actual name of it.
I just. It's fun to pretend as though WooCommerce is the antagonist in my life, but it actually isn't.
Sure. I know we're on competing fronts here with our e-commerce solutions, but I see a lot of value in both of them. I mean, they do different things, and and some tools are better than others. And I think if you're just selling a digital product, like WooCommerce is a little overboard. I mean, there's a lot there that's not needed. And so that's where Ed comes in, right? That's what your thing's called, Ed.
Your thing's called Ed. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's just because you're on the show that I like to pretend that there's some sort of rivalry.
Absolutely.
There's not. I'll just go back to making fun of Ohio instead.
Okay. We won't talk about our football scores.
Oh no.
Oh, anyways, let's go ahead and let's focus on the question. So let's pretend that it's not a speed related question, that it's everything's too fast. Too slow is what I'm gathering from the question. So what kind of suggestions do you have to Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous about speed and WooCommerce?
Well, I happen to have a qualified expert on the show who knows a lot about supporting WooCommerce, so I might defer, other than for me to say my hunch is that if you're operating it, especially if you're operating a modest to small store, there's a really big chance that WooCommerce itself is not the problem. I would say I would put my money on it being something else. And so you get tickets now and then about site speed for WooCommerce and someone complaining. Which we get tickets come in all the time for the hosts, for the plugins, for the themes. Everybody's answering tickets like, my site is not as fast as I think it should be, and I think it's because of your thing. I'm sure you get those tickets, right?
Always, every day.
Yeah, every day. All right. So what is your process for diagnosing the cause of this site slowness?
Yeah, so what we do, and this is probably the same thing that you guys do too, to try to figure out where the issue is. The big thing is like your site's slow. Like there could be a number of reasons. It could be there's a problem with the host, or the cache isn't configured correctly, or some sort of CDN issue, communication thingio. But what we really emphasize, if you truly think your site is slow, let's go ahead and deactivate everything. Like you said, WordPress is going to run faster, and we'll see what that page, usually it's page navigation speed. Like they're trying to navigate from one page to another, or from product to product, or put things in the cart, and they just want to see, like, it feels slow and feels sluggish. And so the first diagnosis tip is to deactivate everything. Let's navigate from page to page to page and kind of see, like, how long is it taking to navigate. If it's taking the same amount of time, then it's nothing related to your plugins. If it seems significantly faster, then you know that, okay, there is some sort of issue making your site slower. And then let's turn on WooCommerce and let's see if WooCommerce is the problem. And if the page speed is still fast, then you know that it's not. But if it significantly gets slower, then you know that, it is related to WooCommerce. And then it's all these little micro steps. So you're looking to try to figure out where the issue is coming from. And then we can start down the path of what actually is causing the problem. So if it is, if it is WooCommerce, then maybe we'll look at, do you have enough memory? Does your server have enough memory? Is your server enough, like, is the speed correct? Or what type of, are you on shared hosting? Or are you on a VPS? Like, what kind of hosting do you have? We'll look at the stats, like what version of PHP are you using, or MySQL? Like if you're using older versions, that's going to take longer to get the data that you need. And I guess it's also a matter of looking to see, like, do you have a huge store? Is there hundreds of thousands of products? Is there 10 products? Like, you're just trying to diagnose, like, where the slowness could be coming from. And we got a lot of tips and tricks, but most of the time, if you're trying to figure out if it's WooCommerce related, deactivate everything but WooCommerce and see what that page speed looks like, and then do a quick test with WooCommerce off. And I know we don't like recommending doing this on a live site, because you do have a live e-commerce site. Like if you turn everything off, like your site's going to look wonky and whatnot. But we do have the ability to do staging sites. There's plugins out there that will create a clone of your site on the same server, or a lot of hosting companies these days have that one-click duplicate feature, and you can go in and make that extra clone, and then that way at least you're testing on the same configuration of hardware, but you can keep things off for a longer period of time and not worry about, hey, what's happening on my website? I'm losing sales, and that's always the thing that we want to try to avoid at all costs.
Yeah. I mean, I experienced, like, rules of thumb when there are site speed issues, very often I find it is either the fault of the user themselves who did something, configured something in an odd way, or added huge images, the kinds of things that just take a long time to load, or the some of the other plugins and themes on the site that are not, quite as actively developed. Like WooCommerce would not be my first suspicion, because WooCommerce is running on millions and millions of websites with an enormous team of people supporting it who have been for years. And it's not like it's just this new plugin and nobody, like hundreds of people a day complain about or accuse WooCommerce of causing their site being slow. And there are some of the best engineers in the business working on optimizing it for performance. And every host knows, or every good host, or at least reputable at this stage, knows WooCommerce and how to support it and what their environments need to handle it. So WooCommerce would be one of the last suspects in my investigation. Mm-hmm. It would be some of the more obscure things, like my theme that was made by just one dude somewhere. And the themes often, especially if it's front end, the themes often have make a lot of compromises or do things in maybe creative ways. Or some of the lesser known plugins that I threw on, those would be my suspects first, for sure.
Yeah, I think too, So going to that, like some people will come to us and say, like, Stripe is broken. The Stripe plugin's broken. I'm like, well, it's probably not broken. Otherwise, we would have, you know, 10,000 tickets saying that Stripe is broken. Like, if there's if there's truly an issue, like, we're going to know immediately about it. But my other thought was, coming back to the question, kind of circling back, the question really should be, like, how are you determining that the page or the speed is slow? Like, are you running a page speed test, or is it just you clicking from browser to browser? Like, that really makes a difference if you're on your mobile device in the corner of a basement that's not on, that's on cell service. Like, yes, your site's going to load slow because, whatnot. So that's kind of another piece of the puzzle. Like, really need to have objective data. So, like, using a page speed tool test to kind of see what those page load times are, just so we're getting, you know, we're not taking in consideration the slowness of your internet service provider.
Right. Being whether you're logged in or not can have an impact, because the pages load fundamentally differently whether the user's logged in. All of those things. Yeah, there are a lot of articles written if you want to research how to troubleshoot a slow WordPress site. Some of them are actually good. other than that, anything to add on this question?
I think the last part too is if you determine that it's something to do with your website host, like, you can always change hosts. Kind of like Kyle was saying, like, there's some of the more well-known WordPress hosts in the space, you know, they are going to optimize their servers for caching for WooCommerce and caching for these high name plugins and whatnot that we're used to using. And so it does cost a little bit more per month. When it comes to a bigger hosting package, I say bigger in quotes, but it's like, I mean, it's the same physical size. Like, it's not bigger, but it's got more power behind it. But if you're running an e-commerce site, in theory, you're making money on your site. And so if you're making money on your site, then you should be able to afford, you know, a few dollars extra per month when it comes to a better experience for your customers.
That's right. That's right. Get what you pay for. What do you think? Good on that question?
I think we're good on that question. I still think the question was about going too fast, though.
You're probably right. So we probably just talked too much about this and shouldn't read into those questions so much.
Right.
Yeah. Good job, though.
But if you do have a question for the Get Options podcast, you know how to find us, and Kyle will tell us all about that later. So we're always looking for good questions.
That's great. Yeah. And I'm so glad I had a WooCommerce expert on the show to answer that question.
Yeah. How convenient that was.
So handy. All right. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to play a quick game. Are you ready?
Yes.
Dustin, for tagline, you're it.
That was a great transition. So excited.
This is a fun game where we throw a tagline at each other from a business that the other person should know about and see if they can guess the correct business behind it. All right. You want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Does that mean I ask the question first or I answer first?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You hit me with a question and I'll get it.
It's like heads or tails when you're flipping a coin, but you don't say what is what. It's exactly what just happened here. Okay, right. I've got a handful of them that we can kind of go back and forth or whatnot. They're not WordPress specific, but they are in our wheelhouse of we interact with these services as you build websites.
Okay, none of them are WordPress specific. Wow.
Correct.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Hit me with one.
All right, the first one. Freelance services marketplace for the lean entrepreneur.
Is this... Now I can't remember what it is called now. The one that used to be Odesk?
No.
Is it Guru?
No.
Elance?
No.
Codable?
No. You're all on the right track, but think lower price point.
Oh, Fiverr. Fiverr.
You got it.
Okay. Great. Okay. I've got one for you. Your resource for all things WordPress.
That sounds an awful lot like your website engineer.
Okay, not a good trick yet.
No, nope.
Right, you got it.
You got it. This one, you might be able to guess this one, but it is Stunning Inclusive Imagery.
Stunning Inclusive
Exclusive Imagery.
Oh, Stunning Exclusive Imagery. That would be one of those photo Shutterfly. No, what's the photo one?
Shutterfly is where you make books for your friends and families and print pictures. So it's not Shutterfly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You're on the right track.
Photo stock.
Flip them around.
Stock photo?
Put an eye in front of it.
Eye stock photo? What? Really?
You never heard of eye stock photo?
Yes, I have, actually. That wasn't what I was trying to think of.
That's the answer, though.
Okay, sweet. I feel like I need a lot more help than you do. How about this one? We free you to publish. That's our mission.
I told Kyle earlier that I am terrible at the taglines. It sounds like WordPress at democratizing publishing, but it's not. But I don't know what it would be that frees.
You don't know. We free you to publish. That's our mission.
Sounds like Medium or something.
Ooh, these are great guesses. When in fact, you were close.
Tumblr.
No. Good. I love the more guesses. You were right on the track with WordPress. It's actually WordPress.com VIP.
Huh. Did not know that. But that,
yep.
That makes sense.
That's their tagline. I knew I would get you with at least one automatic product.
Yeah, seriously. And my last one that I have is always be learning.
Always be learning. Is that lynda.com?
It is lynda.com.
Nice.
Nice job.
Okay, I've got a good one for you. Easy to and through.
Easy to and through. I don't know. It's probably it's probably something that I use every day, and I have no idea.
You should know this one. Easy to and through. I picked all these specifically for you.
Well, I appreciate that, but I also am terrible at taglines. You're it. So I don't know.
Easy to and through is the slogan for the Dayton International Airport.
Oh, please. But it is true. It is easy to and through. It is our favorite airport. It's, 25 minutes away or whatever, but you can get there about 30 minutes before your flight and still have plenty of time to make it to the gate and check in.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. It's like when we fly to other places and we're leaving like Orlando or we're leaving Atlanta, it's like, how early do you have to get to the airport? You have no idea. Cause at Dayton you skitter in and they're most of the time they're like, Mr. Hartzler. Yes. I'm the last one. Are you waiting on, right? Walking up like 15 minutes before the plane leaves.
Everybody on the plane glares at you.
It's one of those things. And it's such a small airport that there's no connections. So like we're not waiting on people connecting from place to place because it's like you're either starting in Dayton or you're ending in Dayton. That's
right.
That's how the Dayton airport works.
That's nice. That sounds handy.
Yeah. But now I know the slogan, so I won't forget the tag.
Easy to and through. Okay. All right. Now it's time to move on to the segment called It's Time for the Personal Questions. Personal questions.
It's time for the personal question.
This is a fun game where we just ask each other a very personal question.
Hey, it kind of goes all the way back to Sarah's question about how do you get to know people?
Yeah, this is how we get to know each other. You invite them on your podcast and ask them a personal question.
Absolutely. So would you like to ask me first or should I ask you first?
I'll ask you a question first, Dustin.
All right.
I want to know, are there any things that you care too much about? Some examples could be things like money or your job, your car, your possessions, your dashing good looks, your podcast ratings, staying physically fit, people liking you, how people feel about Dayton, the way other people chew their food. These are just examples. Is there anything that comes to mind that you feel like I know it's irrational or wrong, but I just can't stop caring so much about this?
Huh, that's a really good question. I mean, in one of my previous shows I was on, I really care a lot about how traffic lights work and how they don't perform the way that you should in 2019, like when you're sitting at a red light all the time when there's no cross traffic really irks me. But I wouldn't say I'm like super, super passionate about that. Like I tell everybody about this struggle of mine, but
Well, I think you're on point with that one, so it's fair.
Right.
It's not too much. Right. Nobody says you care too much.
Right, right. But I also feel like one of the other things is, like, I really care a lot about trying to optimize and making things better than they were. You know, like, I'll see something that's like, oh, that could be better. Maybe I should go ahead and fix it so it's better. I'm thinking of house projects that I'm working on, like my basement area where my workout space is and my unfinished part where we're doing some storage and whatnot has had very poor lighting. I'm like, this needs to be better. There needs to be more lights in here. So, like, then I'm like heads down for 3 days, like rewiring the place and getting it optimized so that when I flip the light switch on, I'm not like having to squint or use a flashlight to see what I need, especially when it's dark out. Same thing goes with, like, just trying to, like, keep things organized and just getting rid of, like, clutter is something that I'm really kind of anti-clutter, anti-paper. I don't like paper sitting around, and just trying to optimize some of that kind of stuff. So I would say I care a lot, but I'm not quite as much as I'm not, like, obsessed, but I wouldn't use the word obsessed, but I'd say I care a lot about, you know, a neat, organized space and making sure that my kids know the same thing. Like, hey, we pick up our toys at the end of the day. We don't have, you know, clutter around the house.
That sounds really good. Like a great quality. Is it, like, to the degree where it irritates anyone in your life?
I don't.
Besides the kids who have to pick up their toys.
Right. Yeah. My daughter, she's 5, and she's like, but is somebody going to help me? I was like, you got all the toys out. Like, why do I have to help? Like, but as I was saying, I think it annoys, my kids sometimes, like, they're, why do we have to do that? Well, you got all the toys out. Like, let's help clean up. We're part of the family. Let's do things that way that, my wife and I were busy. We don't have a lot of time in the evenings, and we don't want to spend the first hour after our kids to bed, like, doing the dishes and putting things away and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. We want to actively help, have them help us, so that's all done, so when the kids are asleep, then we've got that little extra precious time that we can spend hanging out or finishing up those projects that we need to do around the house.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I figured there wouldn't be anything. We would just get to talk about your great qualities.
Oh, well, there's that too, but we'll move on and we'll ask my personal question to you. And we, it kind of goes along the same lines. But we know a little bit about Kyle. We know that, you're into craft beer. We know that you like to play music and you're in this band that is apparently doing awesome. And, from the previous updates on shows and whatnot, but are there any other hobbies that you've never really talked about that you like to do, that you just haven't mentioned on the show before? Something else that we can kind of get to know Kyle just a little bit more.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. You mentioned, like, the couple that have carried on into adulthood or started during adulthood. I didn't start getting into craft beer when I was young. But there were a couple of things that I was into a lot when I was younger, which I'm not so much anymore, more just because the opportunities aren't there. I used to skateboard a lot and I never got really good. But one of the biggest things that I did when I was younger, you know, I was into sports. I was overly into basketball when I was young. And, but one of my favorites that was, like, a long time persistent hobby was making movies. So along with everyone in my family and a lot of our close friends, dozens of them, we made a lot of movies. Now, some of these were remakes of real movies. Like, for example, we spent years remaking the entire Fellowship of the Ring, and some of them were like famous stories like Noah's Ark or Phantom of the Opera, but most of them were original stories created by us, largely me, because I was the oldest and more of a leader type role, so I was the director of many of these movies. Yes. And those were called the Mauer Movie Awards, so on, for all of the different films made in the previous years. And everyone in the community would vote on ballots that we handed out. And then we would have, like, a red carpet ceremony with a performance and acceptance speeches. And it was very elaborate. And some of my fondest memories are, like, hosting those events and the fun performances that we would surprise people with. And the trophies that I took home for best director, and I even won best actor once. Anyway, so we have a huge catalog of films that we've made, and I've acted in many of these movies and directed many more. So that is a very treasured part of my life, and I look forward to a day when I maybe resume the hobby, maybe when my kids and the kids of my siblings are old enough to want to participate the way that we did when we were young.
And are all these just stored on VHS tapes?
No. Well, maybe some. You know, the first that we created were filmed on tapes in the early 2000s. And eventually we upgraded our equipment so that all or almost all are now digital and accessible to us in the family.
That's fantastic.
But they're really just made for us. We don't really share them with anybody else because they're just our own entertainment for each other at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe one of those movies will become on deletable history someday.
I knew that was coming. Yeah, it could happen. Yeah. Who knows? I've been in a lot, played a lot of terrible roles.
When you're saying a lot, like I'm imagining, I don't know, how many movies do you think this is?
Over 100.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. You got a movie star here on the host of the Get Options podcast. And we've got the actor extraordinaire Adam as well. So no wonder this show is amazing in quality.
Yep. That's how it works, right?
Cool deal.
Now you know.
We know all the history. Now, we'll have to remember this when it comes to personal questions again and ask... Maybe you can submit a question, but I think that's Kyle's line, right?
Right. Yeah. Dear listener, thanks for sticking around with us to the end of this fantastic episode 86 of the Get Options podcast. We enjoyed ourselves today. And I'm so grateful to Dustin for joining me and filling in for Adam, who's off just touring around the world, or I don't know, just didn't have time to show up today. We'll give him a hard time. Maybe he'll listen to this and laugh or cringe.
probably
and
cringe.
He will probably be back next week. And this show can only go on if we continue getting great questions like we did today. The one from Sarah and the one from the anonymous listener. We want more questions from you, dear listener. We want to know what you're struggling with, what's on your mind, what changes in WordPress or the community or the tech world or the web that you are hearing rumors about. That maybe are concerning you. Maybe you're contemplating a career change. Maybe you're struggling with employees. Maybe your boss is driving you nuts. Maybe a client has perplexed you in some way. Anything like that. Drop a question into our email inbox, questions@getoptionspodcast.com. Go to our website, getoptionspodcast.com, and leave us a voicemail or dump something in our contact form. Or maybe follow us on social media. I don't know. That's all I got.
Yep, those are great, great things. Questions always need to be needed, especially for this type of show. And I think people should submit their personal questions for either Adam or Kyle to be answered on an upcoming segment.
What an interesting idea. You can follow us on social media, I guess, at @get_options on Twitter. I'm at Mr. Kyle Maurer. Dustin's at Hey Dustin Silver. And you can listen to all the songs from the history of Get Options show on SoundCloud at @get_options.
All right. That's it. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Do-do-do-do-do. Hello, and
here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 85 of the Get Options podcast, the irreverent fun advice show. By...
So that was a bumper that was supposed to stop, but...
Off to a great start.
Completely forgot to hit the stop button. But let's play some bumper music.
Good idea.
Oh, that's... I am off to a very poor start. Man, I am 0 for 2 with bumpers so far.
All right. We've only got 7 more.
That's too funny, but...
All right.
And coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer.
Where is that coming from? I don't know.
Okay. What happened?
I switched to the tab to get ready for the next segment, and it just failed.
Sort of ran out of opportunities to do so, is
coming
myself.
To you from Cary.
Sorry. Continue. My computer's being weird. It just it's firing. It's so excited to play these jingles that I don't have lined up properly.
It's so excited. That's funny.